In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is ascended from earth to heaven. On this feast, we hear from the beginning of the book of Acts how the disciples were gathered together at the time of the Lord's ascension, gazing up into the heavens. And seeing them standing there dumbfounded, angels appeared to them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Now it's not that they were being rebuked for gazing upwards, but it's that they were sort of disoriented and needed to be reminded of their marching orders. They needed to go back into Jerusalem and await the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit who would fill them with the knowledge and grace to do all that needed to be done, and for the church to continue according to God's purpose until the coming again of the Lord. On a practical and physical level, there are things that we need to do in this world. Even spiritually, there are many practical things that need to be done. People need to be catechized, baptized, and so on. And of course, we have families to take care of, jobs to do, etc. But our spiritual vision as we do all those things is, of course, oriented upwards. We are called to a continual spiritual ascent, to gaze into the heavens with the eyes of our heart, longing for heaven, awaiting the Lord's coming. There's a saying that someone can be so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. But in fact, only if we are heavenly minded are we any earthly good. That's because only if we are connected with Christ and led by the Holy Spirit can we know what is good and not be deceived. Saint Innocent of Carison has a sermon for this feast, in which he compares our ascent to heaven with an ascent up to a high elevation in this world. If someone suddenly goes up to a high altitude, he has trouble breathing. He hasn't been acclimated and the air is too thin for him. He says, likewise, if you take someone and bring him up to heaven, but he has not lived a life oriented towards heaven, then he can't breathe the air of heaven. Unfortunately, this may mean he falls away from heaven and plummets down to hell. The idea is that we're all meant to be in heaven, but we have to be acclimated, not because the air there is thin, but because it's thicker, richer, deeper than anything in this world. And it's too much for us to bear unless we begin bearing it now. So he says we must ascend now, in this life, in the spirit, in our souls. We must ascend and not be fixated on the things of the earth, in which case we will never acclimate to heaven. St. Paul says in Colossians 3:2, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." This is the way of ascent, the path that we're called to. But do we do this? In a similar way, Elder Emilianos asks whether we ever think of heaven. Let me read to you from his talk on the Divine Liturgy as the window of heaven. He writes, "How often do we even think of heaven, living as we do amidst so many pleasures and absorbed by so many trivial things? Our various preoccupations, like magnets, pull on our hearts and make heaven appear too lofty for us to reach, something beyond our grasp and unattainable by any means. And if a person is lacking in spiritual experiences, if he has not turned his heart to heaven, if he has not visited there from time to time, or cast so much as a glance in that direction, then the danger is even greater. When people talk to you about a certain person, you may likely feel joy or longing for him. If, however, you don't actually see that person, then the possibility exists that you'll soon forget him. If, on the other hand, you do see him, it's very likely that your heart will love him, that it will attach itself to him, and that from then on you'll keep him constantly in your thoughts. It's the same with heaven. If only we could turn our gaze there, even for a moment, and catch a glimpse of its breadth, its beauty, its joy, and its grandeur, it would certainly be very difficult for our soul to forget such a thing." And listen also to this inspiring vision that he gives a little bit further on of the liturgy. "What is this kingdom which is blessed? And that's, of course, a reference to the beginning of the Divine Liturgy when we say, blessed is the kingdom. So what is this kingdom which is blessed, glorified, honored, and superior to every other kingdom? It is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It is paradise in which Christ has placed us. It is our holy church. Its king is the God of three sons, that's S-U-N, sons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The servants of the king are the angels and archangels, along with the thrones, principalities, authorities, dominions, powers, the many-eyed cherubim, and the six-winged seraphim. The king's generals are the saints. Our Lady the Theotokos is the queen. The faithful soldiers of this kingdom are all those Christians who are ready to follow Christ, whatever the cost. All those who are ready to bear his honorable name. All those who make up his church. All of them, then, Christ, the saints, the Theotokos, the angels, the faithful of all the ages, are with us during the celebration of the liturgy. So we have the liturgy as that which calls us to ascend. We can cultivate a clear vision of what the liturgy is, as Elder Emilianos describes it. And when we do that and go deeper in the liturgy, then we can begin to live our whole life liturgically. We can begin to live a life of ascension. May we do so. Christ is ascended from earth to heaven.